Cape Talk.
The Africa Report.
With JJ Cornish.
JJ Cornish, a very good morning to you. Comment ça va?
Bonjour, Zain. Ça va très bien, merci.
Lovely. It's nice to know that you're doing very well this morning. Rwanda's ruling party, to no one's great surprise, is sweeping the parliamentary election in that country?
Absolutely. But there are two MPs who've now made it into the parliament. They're from the Rwandan Green Party. And they say, you know, we realize we're going to be completely swamped. But it's good news because it shows that the battle for democratization in Rwanda is a long, long process. So, Rwanda has 80 seats in parliament. 53 are up for election, were up for election at the beginning of the week. And of the 80 seats, the remainder go to women, the youth, and disabled. Now, the Rwanda Patriotic Front, the ruling party, has won 40 seats. And then the others in parliament are all sort of allied to Paul Kagame, the president, who won 98% of the vote in the presidential election last year. You know, when you see that kind of figure, you've got to look at it twice, eh? He's, of course, recredited with restoring stability in Rwanda and the rapid economic progress the country's enjoyed since post the 94 genocide. But he has muzzled independent media and he has suppressed opponents, as witnessed by Diane Rwigara and Victoria Ingabire, both of whom they had hoped to oppose him in the presidential election and are now in jail. So this is how tough it is to try and oppose Paul Kagame. But the Rwandans say, well, now that we have opposition MPs, even albeit only two, that's an indication that we have real democracy here and that it'll broaden debate. So I suppose two is, you know, yeah. I lived in the apartheid era when we had, you know, how many prog MPs? So you sort of draw whatever comfort you can from tiny victories.
Yeah, and the thing in any country where you want to run a democracy, you must have a very active and very alive opposition. You know, it doesn't necessarily need to be a very big one, but it has to be very vocal in terms of things. So that's the Rwandan ruling party. Agriculture Works are meeting in Kigali to fashion a free revolution.
These are the agriculture wonks and even ministers are there. Because what you have is the African Green Revolution Forum meeting there. Now, Asia between 1970 and 1995, they doubled their cereal production with better seeds, better fertilizer, better infrastructure. And that's something that Africa is looking at, but it's not a template for what should happen here because Africa has many small crops, you know, diverse number of crops. So their green revolution would be a lot of small victories rather than a few big ones. In Asia, they don't have that many crops, you know, rice and so on. And Africa, of course, has poor irrigation. And what you've seen in Asia is, of course, the intensification of the farming has polluted many of the rivers. So you've got to avoid that happening in Africa. But it's an interesting meeting. And we'll see what comes of it. Obviously, any kind of, anything approaching a green revolution in Africa will be very, very welcome indeed.
That's out in Kigali. The African wonks are meeting there to sort of fashion out a free revolution or a green revolution. Africans are among the most active humans on the planet, according to a UN survey. I think a lot of people think differently.
Yes, the World Health Organization saying they've made very little progress in trying to say to people, you've got to exercise 150 hours. Sort of slow exercise, brisk walk and so on, easy exercise. They need to do 15 hours a week and less than 150 minutes. And then half of that if you do tougher exercise like running and so on. But they're not making much progress with this at all. And the worst is women, who are the least active on the planet. And now if they're not having this exercise, you lay yourself bare for diabetes, heart attacks, dementia, that sort of thing. And they interviewed nearly 2 million people for this survey and found in Africa that Uganda and Mozambique are the most active countries, and that Mauritania is the least, again, because of the women who are very inactive. But essentially, Africa comes out top of this because many people are still walking to work, bicycling to work, and exercising as part of their daily work, as opposed to sort of putting on your high-powered gym wear and then going to the air-conditioned gymnasium that too many people associate with exercise.
Yeah, I've always felt that going to the gym doesn't necessarily mean that you're exercising or exercising effectively, as a matter of fact. But gyms are good when you can't get that exercise. A brisk 20 minutes walk on the beach, if you're close to the beach, or just walk to the shop. That's what a lot of people don't do these days. Jean-Jacques Cornish, Ademir, thanks very much.
Oui, à demain. No, la semaine prochaine. We're not speaking till next week.
Oh, okay. All right. So we're not speaking till next week. You can see that I'm not used to the show yet. But I'll get the grips of it. Abs will be back on Monday for you, JJ.
Okay.
Thanks.
All the best. Bon weekend.
You too. 17 minutes.